You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. Thanks so much to everyone that helps keep drive us up the rankings on the various podcast platforms. We've got our eyes set on being the number one travel podcast on both Apple and Google, and we can't get there without you guys. Help us get there by telling a friend or sharing the show on social media. And speaking of social media, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. If you have questions or a suggestion for a topic for a future show, you can also shoot me an email at ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find me writing each and every day at pizzainmotion.com. Let me set the table for this week's episode. As a business traveler, I generally fly enough to earn top-tier elite status on one of the big three carriers every year. For a decade or so, I was an American Airlines Executive Platinum member, and I've also been a 1K member with United for the past 6 years. And for some of those years where it got really crazy, I had top-tier status on both American and United. In 2019, I started to fly Delta more, and I really liked what I've seen, and so I figured it was time to dive in a bit deeper on each of these three programs from the perspective of a business traveler. That way, for those of you who send me questions asking about where you should put your business, you'd have a perspective from three true road warriors. Up first this week is Darren Murph from The Points Guy, who's a Delta Diamond, and in upcoming weeks we'll also be joined by Gary Leff of View from the Wing to cover American Airlines as an Executive Platinum, as well as Zach Honig from The Points Guy to cover United Airlines 1K status. After Darren today, we've got Jen back with us to talk about the highest sign-up bonus ever for a credit card that may just be enough points for your next beach vacation. By the way, if you missed Darren's segment on 10 minutes in Key West from a few weeks ago, it was definitely a great one. I'm glad to have him back to talk Delta Diamond. Let's dig in. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Darren Murph, senior strategist at TPG, and I still have not figured out what a senior strategist is, but he's hard at work on it. And you know, one of the things about Darren that I respect is that he's a big fan of Delta, and for many years I was a huge fan of American Airlines. And you know, Darren likes to talk about the Delta difference, and you know, he made that suggestion to me. And it's like, wow, I think that'll make a great podcast for people to hear that from somebody who's you're a million miler with Delta, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a Diamond 6 years in a row now, and I hit a million miles on Delta last year. So
congrats!
They've taken me some places, man. They've taken me some places.
That's awesome. That's a million paid miles. So I can only imagine how many award miles you had on top of that.
Yeah, I know. It's actually a huge bummer that award miles don't count towards million miler. And I can't even find out what it actually is. Like, I wouldn't even have a huge problem if they didn't credit them, but I still would like to know. But I've got to guess it's like 200,000 to 300,000 in award miles.
I probably guess even more than that, but. So let's talk about it. I mean, you hear folks talk about all the time about why they love Delta, you know, and I can definitely say I see the difference as somebody who's been a top tier elite on both American and United, that even as a not top tier elite on Delta, I do like the treatment I get. But let's dig into, you know, what you think that difference is.
Yeah. So, you know, you'll find fans of anything and everything in life. And obviously being a Diamond, they treat me really well. And being a million miler, I kind of know the ins and outs of how to get the best experience with Delta. But all that aside, Delta really does some things fundamentally different that I think people should just generally be aware of. And I think if you're just going for the best possible experience, if you don't have any status, Delta is still the best one of the legacy carriers. So some of this stuff is pretty nuanced, man. I'll give you a good example. Earlier this year, Delta announced profit sharing. So they always announce profit sharing on February 14th. And so folks that work at Delta, they say, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day, we celebrate profit sharing day. They have a lot to celebrate on that front. They have orders of magnitude more money to distribute to all of their full-time employees. And it just matters. When you get on a Delta plane and you talk to a flight attendant, you're being served wherever you're at in the cabin, you can just tell that they care more, that they feel appreciated on a level that they know isn't possible on the other airlines. And so what ends up happening is, because this is publicized year after year after year, folks that want to be flight attendants, folks that want to fly around the world and serve other people, the best of the best want to work at Delta. So they end up getting these incredible applications, and then they get these incredible entrants of flight attendants that end up on your flights. So it trickles all the way down when you're considering, okay, I want to be a flight attendant. Well, I want to work for the best airline, the airline that invests in new planes, that keeps their planes clean, that are operationally efficient. Delta hits all of those targets. We did a poll earlier this year on the points guy, and Delta was the number one U.S. airline by pretty much every metric. And it's important to dig in a little bit on the operational efficiency side of things. Delta has become really, really good at getting most of their planes to where they need to be on time or really close to on time.
Yeah, very much so.
Now, my colleague JT Ginter, who flies American a lot, will rightly point out that Delta will occasionally delay a flight like overnight and then take off the next morning, and it'll just be recorded as an extended delay instead of a cancellation. So there's definitely some you know, massaging going on in the official stats. But practically speaking, I fly them, I don't know, sometimes 50, 70 segments a year. That's a lot of opportunity for things to go wrong. And very few times does it go wrong. And when it does, even for non-elites, Delta is just, they go above and beyond to make it as right as possible, as quickly as possible. And they actually treat you like a human. And there's just something different about someone treating you like a human versus a number. It's a nuanced thing, but if you fly another carrier and then you fly Delta, you kind of feel it. And I think for me, that's the core of it. Now, you might ask, why is that? And from my experience at Delta, it has a lot to do with the culture and the ingrained training. So I got to visit Delta headquarters last fall, and I got to visit their flight attendant training and actually speak with some of the trainers there, which are, by the way, also flight attendants. So they're not getting taught by these executives that have never had to serve on an airplane. They're actually getting taught by some of the most seasoned flight servants there are, which is amazing to me. And look, it's an airline based in the South. Southern hospitality is a very real part of their culture. They make no bones about it.
For sure.
And look, that just feels different to me. When you have an airline that's based and steeped in a culture where you try to be humble, you try to be serve, you try to approach everything as this is an opportunity to learn something or positively influence somebody's day. This person has a story. They are flying with us today because there's something important there. There's an important business meeting that they need to be a part of. There's an important family member on the other side. Maybe there's a funeral on the other side, and they're trying to go somewhere to comfort someone. There's all kinds of reasons why people fly. And Delta flight attendants, in my experience, have just gone above and beyond to figure out what that is. They want to know your story. They want to know why you're on the plane. They're not just trying to do their job and clock out. And to touch back on operational efficiency really quickly, you aren't the only one that wants to take off on time and land on time. The flight crew is also made up of human beings, our fellow brothers and sisters that live on this world with us. And they too would like to get back to their family when they're supposed to. And it definitely helps when an airline stays on target. It keeps the flight crew happy. You know, they love having a month of very low cancellations because it means they got to see their significant others, their kids, their pets, on time. And that matters. And so when you have an airline that is less dysfunctional, it makes the crews happier, and they pass that happiness along to the people on board. And that's what I've seen over the years, and it really makes a difference when you're flying them a lot.
You know, it's interesting to note for folks that aren't quite a student of the business of the airline industry. I think there's two interesting things about Delta as it compares to their, you know, quote unquote competitors, American and United, and even Southwest to some degree. Delta is significantly less unionized than their competitors.
Yeah.
And I think that that in and of itself is unique. I remember when I first discovered it many moons ago, my wife's uncle worked for United for many, for Delta for many years. And I learned that through him when I first met her 20 years ago. So they've largely been happy as a non-union airline. They feel like they get what they need from management. But to take it a step further, when Delta merged with Northwest, Northwest was largely a union-based airline. And there was a push at that point during that merger to move to union representation. And the core of the Delta community, these employees, resisted that because they liked the formula they had. And I can't imagine that if they didn't feel, as you said so eloquently, if they didn't feel like they were cared for and valued by management, they've had easy opportunities to unionize.
For sure.
And have chosen repeatedly not to.
And on top of that, anyone that works with Delta, these skills are eminently transferable to any other airline that is unionized. And so it makes it relatively easy to go fit into that mold if it best suits them. And so that also works in reverse. So if you want to be in the airline industry, but you feel like you don't want to be a part of the union, well, you go work at Delta. And so it creates this culture fit by its very nature, where people seek out the job that's most aligned with their values there. And I'll say another thing, that working at TPG, we get reader tips all the time of how people are positively and negatively impacted by various things in the airline industry. And just one recently where there's an inaugural flight for the A330-900neo coming up. It was originally scheduled for July 1. Airbus delivered it a little bit late to Delta, so it got pushed out by 2 weeks to July 15th. So you have this whole slew of people between July 1 and 14 that bought tickets specifically to be on this flight, oftentimes spending thousands of dollars to do it, and now it's moved. So I had a reader write in. He has no status whatsoever with Delta, but he really wanted to be a first flyer on this flight. So he bought this ticket from Seattle to Shanghai on July 1st, and then it got moved. He emailed in. He's like, what is my recourse? I have no status with them. And so he called. Delta sent around a memo, which, by the way, they didn't have to do this. And Delta's contract of carriage and equipment swap is not grounds for allowing you to make a fee-free cancellation or change.
Yeah.
But because they realize this is a special case, people, fans of the airline, want to fly this plane, they sent around a memo to all specialists and said, look, if anybody calls in, they want to be on the A339, let them move it fee-free. It's the right thing to do. So we passed that along to the reader, and he called in, and the agent was so sympathetic that not only did they allow him to do something different because of the A339 situation, he couldn't fly after July 15th. It just wasn't going to work with his schedule. So again, no status. So he's on the phone with them, and he says, well, here's the deal. If you fly me out of LA, I can still fly in Premium Select. That's the cabin that I purchased. But what would be really awesome is if you could fly me via LA, but give me the LA a day early. I really want to go plane spotting and just hang out at the airport for a day. And they said, sure, you know, that's the least we can do. We can't accommodate you on the A339. So they're flying him in from LA to Seattle, from Seattle to LA a day early, so he can plane spot, be a proper AVGEEK. Then they're putting him on the LA to Shanghai, so he can be in the cabin that he originally paid for. And then on the way back, he said, you know, could you route me through Seoul? I see there's this option here with an 8-hour layover, and I've never been to South Korea. I think that's enough time for me to briefly get out and explore a new city. They said, sure, absolutely. And so even with no status whatsoever, they completely reworked this guy's schedule, and they didn't have to do any of it. And I hear these stories time and time and time again. And look, they've helped me out of some just outrageous circumstances. And I don't think other airlines do this as much. Or if they do, they kind of make you feel guilty about it. And Delta is like prides themselves on getting you out of pickles, even if it's a pickle that you helped create. I'll never forget, a few years ago, I was in Lima, Peru, in Atlanta. Atlanta is the only place Delta flies from Lima. and there was this insane snowstorm in Atlanta, and they canceled the Lima to Atlanta flight for 2 straight days. So I called them on some sketchy voice, VoIP line in Peru, and said, "Hey, is there any way you can get me out of here faster than 3 days from now?" And I said, "There's an American flight to Miami leaving in an hour and a half." And they said, "Hang on, we'll see what we can do." Came back about 3 minutes later. "We're emailing you over your confirmation on American, and we'll get you home tonight if you can make it to the airport in the next 40 minutes.
Wow.
They paid for a full fare Y ticket to get me back home that night through Miami. And then the real kicker, after I got home, I went onto their website and applied for an original routing credit. If you search for OCR on TPG, we have some articles about it.
Yep.
Do you know they still gave me SkyMiles for the original route back home through Atlanta, even though I didn't fly it, and they paid me to fly on American through Miami? That's the kind of above and beyond that you're not going to find other places. And this might not matter much to people that don't fly a lot, but I'm telling you, if your life kind of depends on an airline getting you to and from a place when they say they will, this kind of stuff matters.
Well, yeah. And for me, you know, prior to the American Airways, US Airways merger, American Airlines, US Airways merger, I was an American Airlines exec plat for a decade. And the biggest reason why I was loyal back then was because agents did things like you talked about.
Yeah.
If I needed to get home to my family,
yeah,
they made it a priority. It wasn't about the fee. It was about, well, where do you need to be? You know, when do you need to leave? Let's figure it out. The conversations didn't start out that way of, you know, like, as you say, making me feel guilty. It was, how do we solve the problem? And that was definitely a big change after the merger. There's still some of that over there. But what I can honestly say is that United, who is my primary carrier now, because they're the one that has the most nonstops for my home airport, I've never felt that culture. You know, there are times they'll do things for me and times they won't do things for me. They thank me for my loyalty, but unlike what I experienced with American back in the 2000s and what you talk about, you know, what you've experienced with Delta, there's this empathy.
Yes.
That I sometimes find lacking when it comes to solving the problem. And I think from an empathy standpoint, I'd be hard pressed to say that I would challenge somebody to say that American or United is doing that better than Delta right now.
I would agree with that.
You know, I think Southwest does a great job empathizing with the customer as well on a very different business model.
Right.
You know, I think that's the thing that if there's something to be that you can point to that you want to commend Delta for, it's that level of empathy of understanding that these are all human beings, as you said, the crew and the passenger.
Yep. And loyalty goes both ways. And Delta, I've talked to enough executives to know that they really believe that if you do right by someone, even if you lose money on it, if they're loyal to you and they spend the next 1, 2, 3+ years of their life explicitly buying Delta tickets because of it, you're going to make it up. And so they kind of bank on that future ROI of doing right by people, even if it kind of costs them in the near term quarter. And that's rare in the airline industry. And I really think that's at the heart of it.
It very much is rare. Definitely not something I see, very much anywhere else. Well, we are going to refer to you this week as Delta Darren. Thanks a ton for being on with us. I can't wait to drag you back on again to talk about more wonderful places in the world that you've been to that I haven't. But until we get the chance to do that, tell folks where they can track you down.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow my travels on Instagram at @Darren_Murph or on Twitter at @DarrenMurph. Feel free to hit me up if you have questions or if you're in a sky club. Hope to see you in the sky soon.
Sounds good, Darren. Safe travels. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with Autoslash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into Autoslash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about, right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with Autoslash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Jen from Deals We Like. It's been a few weeks since we've had a new deal segment, and it seems like we're going to ring it in correctly with the highest ever offer that I can remember for the IHG credit card. Am I right, Jen? Is this the highest it's ever been?
Yeah, that's right. For, at least for this new version of the card that was introduced last year, it is the highest. Last time we saw this was 5,000 points less and higher spending. So this is definitely a great time to apply for this card if you've been considering it.
You know, you mentioned the spending. I thought the spending was actually pretty reasonably low considering some of the other things, like the Southwest card, I think was 5,000.
Yes.
This one is only 3,000, right?
Right. So with this card, it just earned a flat 125,000 points after spending $3,000. And if you've been in tune to some of the recent credit card offers, they've been tiering them. So while you might get, you know, some points after spending that, you know, lower spend threshold, it takes a lot of money to actually receive the top tier points. So this is actually a great offer all around, aside, I mean, including just the minimum spend that you'll have to put on the card. And it's pretty accessible for most, you know, everyday people.
Yeah, $3,000 over 90 days really isn't that high. And I'm not an expert on the IHG program on a day-to-day basis because I usually focus elsewhere. But walk folks through the fourth night free and give them like a rough idea if they're going somewhere. You know, what's 125,000 points get them?
Sure. So IHG, like any other program, has categories. And the sweet spot is typically around like a 40,000 point or a lower category, only because with this card, you get a free night every single year after your anniversary year. So, which is capped at a 40,000 point level.
Right.
So that's why those 40,000 point or lower numbers are really ideal, because, you know, there are some properties out there, and I always go back to the IHG in Aruba. And this is a property that's right on the beach. It might not be as nice as the Hyatt next door, but it's really a great property that over Christmas time can be, you know, $400. Use your free night certificate and it's as legitimately free. Not only that, you can use your points at this property or any other property, but 125,000 points could get you actually four nights free when you have the credit card. So I know you're probably trying to do the math, and it's 40,000 points, which would be 160,000 points after four nights. But with this card, you also get the fourth night free when you use points. And it's not like one of those things where you get a rebate. So you really only need to have that 120,000 points to redeem, which is wonderful because the fourth night comes back right off the top. So those are my two favorite perks of the card. And at an $89 annual fee, I mean, the perks pay for itself pretty immediately.
For sure. And if you're thinking about, you know, as you said, the free night when you pay the annual fee on a yearly basis, in theory, well, set that aside for a second, just on the initial sign-up bonus, if you were able to use it at a property, as Jen says, that's 40,000 points a night or less, you've got yourself essentially a four-night vacation somewhere really nice. And I have not stayed at that property in Aruba. We stayed at a couple other properties nearby, but you're right. It's plenty good for a beach vacation. And Aruba is such a beautiful, beautiful place that you're going to spend most of your time on the beach or around the island and hopefully not too much time hanging out in the room, reading a book or watching TV.
Right. Exactly. Like I personally just used my free night certificate at in Portugal at the Intercontinental Lisbon. And that property was going for a little bit over $200 a night. And it was a great usage to use my annual free night certificate. Maybe not the best value, but you know, win-win situation. So it's come in handy. And my husband and I both have the card. So that's two free nights. Not only that, if you have the old IHG credit card, you are eligible for this credit card as well. So Chase, for some cards, doesn't allow you to apply for the new version of the card if you have the existing version. With IHG, as of today, you are actually, in fact, allowed to have both cards, and you can even combine the perks. So the old perk used to be that you would get a 10% rebate when you went ahead and redeemed points. This is a fourth night free. So if you have both versions of the cards, you can actually combine the two benefits, and I don't know the math on the, off the top of my head, but you're getting like 30%, 38% or something rebate on when you use points, which is awesome. And then both of them will still give you that free night. So each individual could have two free nights if you have both credit cards.
I love it. Well, I don't have both credit cards, but I am thinking about 125,000 points in my IHG account for only $3,000 in spend and a fairly reasonable annual fee at $89.
Yes.
Jen, tell folks where they can track you down when you're not hopping on here talking about deals with me.
Absolutely. You can find me at dealswelike.com or via any social media, anything at dealswelike. So Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And feel free to send me a message if you have any questions.
All right. There you have it, guys. We will be right back to wrap up this week's show on the Miles to Go podcast. Back to wrap up this week's show, and I ran out of money this week, so no time for the final two pennies. I'll be sure to get some change for next week. A big thanks to Darren for diving into Delta Diamond with me, and a big thanks to Jen for talking the IHG credit card. As always, thanks to producer Mike and to each and every one of you for listening in, telling your friends, and helping us grow the show each and every week. Stay tuned for segments from Road Warriors at American and United Airlines in the very near future. If you've listened this far, I have to believe that means you like what you're hearing. If that's the case, please tell a friend and make sure you subscribe to get our episodes downloaded each and every week as soon as they're released. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.